Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Project Zion podcast. This is Brittany Mangelson, and I will be your host for today. And today we have on Emily Rose, and we are going to talk about the camping tradition in Community of Christ. So, Emily, you have shared your story on PZP before, and I'm pretty sure that we've had you on a Holy Grounds episode where we've talked about spiritual practices.
Yes.
But let's why don't you just give us a quick overview of who you are and where you are and what you do.
I can do that. So hi everybody. My name is Emily Rose and I grew up in Community of Christ in Alabama. And then I went to our church affiliated school, Graceland University, in Iowa. And now I live with my husband, Daniel, in California, Orange, California, where I work for Community of Christ as an invitation support minister for our area, our mission center. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you for that. So one of the reasons why we wanted to talk about the camping tradition or just camping in Community of Christ is that we are in the midst of social distancing and isolation and quarantining, et cetera, due to COVID-19. And so a lot of camps in the church are being canceled, which is really, really devastating. So we wanted to maybe uplift just a little bit of information about the camping tradition to just kind of give some context of why this is such a bummer for so many people. And so since I did not grow up in Community of Christ, Emily, I'm hoping that you will just be able to share just a little bit about the camping tradition in Community of Christ, maybe the types of different camps that go on in the church, what kind of planning is involved, just that kind of thing.
I could talk all day about the camp. So I'm really excited. So in Community of Christ, typically over the summer season, there will be multiple camps that happen at our various campgrounds throughout the U.S. and the world. And it's hard for me to even wrap words around how I feel about the camping tradition. It is a hugely formational experience. I believe, and I could be wrong, you can check me on the history on this, but I believe that our reunion experience, which is like a family camp where people come as families and stay together for a week of worship and formation and campfire and all kinds of things, I believe that sprung from this desire to meet more than once a year at like a district conference back in the day. And so reunion kind of sprung up as a way for us to gather again. I feel like that's maybe folklore, but
I think it's folklore that I'm familiar with. So
okay, good.
we'll give it a gold star.
Yeah. We're gonna ground it in context.
An episode about the history of reunion specifically. So we'll be sure to do that with this episode.
Absolutely. So that's kind of a little bit of context about where reunion comes from. But outside of reunion, there's also youth camps that happen during the summer. And in the area where I grew up on the Gulf Coast, we had our campgrounds was Bluff Springs Campgrounds. And it's still one of my favorite places to visit and to think about. It was just a really, again, formational place for me. But we had junior camp, which is for like rising fourth graders through rising sixth graders, kind of that age group. And then we had junior high camp for middle school aged folks, and then senior high camp for high school. And I went to camp for all of those. So I really feel like I was kind of raised up in that system. And what happens at camp is, you know, youth gather and there's counselors and There's all kinds of silly traditions ranging from songs we sing around the campfire at the end of the day to chants you might do at the dining hall. There's just a lot of fun, you know, tradition and community building that happens. And so that's like one camping context that I've been in. But I actually, when I was a student at Graceland, I was a Graceland summer rep. So I went to campgrounds all over the country and Canada, and got to experience kind of some of the traditions that happen in those areas and meet, you know, just all kinds of wonderful, incredible people and get to be a part of camping experiences there. So I feel the loss. I feel that acutely because I'm thinking of all of these places that I hold in my heart that may or may not be facing these difficult choices. So there are places of love where some pretty awesome things happen.
Yeah. And then in addition to that, there's SPEC and IYF and different retreats, whether it's, you know, a congregational retreat or women's retreat or men's retreat or whatever it may be. Harmony, the organization formerly known as Gala, has a retreat as well. So I would say that retreats and camps, I mean, they're kind of one and the same in Community of Christ. And it is a big loss. I know that they just barely announced the cancellation of SPEC, which is pretty devastating. And I know that, Emily, that you are involved with SPEC a lot as well. So I'm sorry.
I am too. I'm missing the ritual. I feel like the camping season sort of punctuates my year, and I'm sure that it does that for a lot of people. And so the rituals associated with that, I am holding that loss with so many, and I know that, you know, I'm particularly thinking of the campers for things like senior high camp and SPEC and just sort of what that community can mean for them. And it's just a loss that we're all kind of holding together.
Yeah. And there's really no way. I mean, I think at the beginning of when you were talking, you were saying, you said something like, how can I articulate, you know, what camp actually means? And that is something that I've found to be true. Anytime that I've participated in a camp with Community of Christ, which, and actually I've said this before, but camp was the very first experience I had with Community of Christ. Mm-hmm. And there is something very, very special about putting everything aside and coming together as a community that in your everyday life, you are doing very different things. Maybe you have different beliefs, you have different backgrounds, especially in a big camp like SPEC or something, or IYF, where you're coming from all over the place in this central location. And there's something that magically happens when everybody is together and singing and doing skits and playing sports and doing activities and worshiping together. It's a community building activity that really can't be replicated. And so I'm seeing more and more camps being canceled this summer, it is a big loss. And I know that even the camps that have impacted my congregation and my little family, it's been a big loss for us. Yeah. And just to recognize that that's happening on a much larger scale beyond just ourselves, it's kind of overwhelming. It's kind of sad.
So. Yeah. It's a collective grief for sure. And I think what has brought me comfort is knowing that I'm not alone in holding that. And so I just want to extend that to our listeners, I guess, who may be feeling, you know, the sadness of that loss. And hopefully we can, you know, share stories and memories that bring a little lightness to the edges of that.
Yes, exactly. So that's where we're going.
Yay!
sadness, but we did want to acknowledge.
Yeah, we have to name the grief, right? You can't skip it.
Yeah, exactly. So one thing that I've noticed at all the camps that I have been to is a lot of times we talk about taking the spirit of the camping tradition back into the congregation. So I noticed that particularly at SPEC, among the leadership, among the counselors, there was a lot of conversation of how to keep people connected in between activities, you know, in between events, how to keep the energy and the sense of spirituality and the sense of self and self-love, how to keep those, that spirit within the kids, within the campers, throughout the rest of the year. So I guess I'm wondering if you can maybe name some of what makes the camping experience so meaningful. And to you, what do we mean when we say like bringing the spirit of camping into the congregation or into our communities?
Yeah. So I think the magic that happens, and I use that word, I really think it's the holy thing that happens. It's more than just kind of like magical and fun. Like it's this sacred thing where we create a space where people get to be fully themselves. And I remember when I was growing up, you know, I had this really just wonderful, incredible group of friends that like this community that I had built at camp. And there was sometimes this feeling of like, you know, when you're at camp, you get to be fully yourself around this community that accepts you for exactly who you are. You get to kind of integrate all of these parts of yourself, these really silly parts or these spiritual parts, and build community around being absolutely who you are. And sometimes, especially as a young person, you don't get that kind of safety or full acceptance and welcome in like school, for instance. And so, especially with youth camps, that language of, you know, take what you've experienced here and bring it somewhere else is really prevalent. And I think that that's what we're talking about when we say those words, is that we want people who have experienced this deep belonging at camp, belonging to themselves as well as belonging to this larger group of people, to take that sense of belonging and offer it as a gift outside of camp. And that's kind of what makes camp so special, is that it's a place where you really do get to be fully who you are.
I love the idea of being fully yourself, being able to be fully present and being able to fully belong to a group in a really safe place. I know that some of the retreats that I've been to, some of the women's retreats particularly, some of the ones here in the Salt Lake area, they've been filled with women who have had their whole spiritual framework crumble. Mm. And they're in a process of rebuilding and in a process of learning, who is God to me? What is the spirit? How does God speak to me? What spiritual practices do I want to implement in my life? What do I want to leave behind? There's a lot of self-discovery. But to be able to be vulnerable in a place where you are unsure of who you are, or you're like still uncovering those parts of you, I think is also kind of parallel to youth camps, where they're just coming into themselves. They're figuring out what they want to take forward in their spiritual life. Some of them are figuring out their sexuality. Some of them are figuring out their relationship with God. And so camp can be a really good place to foster that self-discovery and then ultimately that sense of belonging. Yeah. So I guess, is that something that you have experienced or that you have witnessed in any of the camps that you've been involved with?
Oh gosh. Yes and yes. What immediately came to my mind just now is my favorite day at SPEC is Friday. Part of that is because our worship class that we teach has finished all of the worships that they have to plan. And we usually just have like donuts and juice for them and during our class time to celebrate all the important work that they've done. But I also love Friday because it ends with this giant talent show out on the lawn, like the quad at Graceland. And you witness these young people who may or may not have ever seen in themselves, you know, someone who would participate in a talent show, and they get up and they not only give, you know, all of themselves. Again, you talked about vulnerability. It's like this vulnerable thing to get up and share, you know, whatever talent they want to bring, and the way they are received by the community with just pure love and joy. Like that, it's at the end of the week and you see this like community that has come together to support people in sharing vulnerably. And it's just, it's so wonderful to watch. It's so wonderful to watch. And I've seen things like that, you know, all over the country, watching people, young people, particularly at youth camps, who open up something within themselves, like a new well of confidence or a new well of spirituality. I mean, there's something that happens in this concentrated week of camp that opens them up to new parts of themselves. And getting to watch that unfold in real time, it's just, there's nothing like it.
That reminds me of a reunion that we had a couple years ago where the children's class did a worship. They planned a worship. And in my congregation, having children help plan worships is not really something that we've done a whole lot of. They have participated in worship, but we don't necessarily turn the service over to the 8-year-olds, you know? And we did that at reunion and they loved it. And the leadership development that happened there, where they could take charge and they could say what they wanted. Obviously there were adults involved who helped with the parameters of making sure that it was a meaningful service, but and the kids had a lot of say in what happened and they really loved it. And then the next year at kids camp, I directed and I asked them what they wanted to do and they wanted to plan a worship service. And I was like, all right, this is not something that I would have expected, but they loved that experience so much. And so we just kind of did a little worship service for ourselves and it was led by the kids. And discovering who they are through actually getting involved and developing their interests and talents and that kind of thing was just really cool to watch. And it was very unexpected. Like I was not expecting them to really grasp onto worship planning. That's not something that I would have ever guessed that the kids wanted to do. And yet the opportunity was there at camp and they took it and ran with it.
I love that. That makes me think of all of the just incredible, community and worships that come out of our worship class at SPEC, the just witnessing in young people the creativity that happens in a circle where it's like bouncing off of one another. And usually it happens right around Wednesday. So like midway through the week, there's something that shifts where the group suddenly like coagulates. Like there's something that shifts and they have bonded in this just beautiful way to each other and to the task of inviting their community into the presence of God. And I just, every year it gets me. Every year witnessing the creativity and the spiritual depth of our young people, it's powerful.
Yeah. And at camp, there's not the same restrictions as there would be in a congregational setting. So they're not competing, if you will, with other adults who want to plan services or, you know, there's less opportunities to be told no when you're at camp. There's a lot more leeway to experiment and to really dive in. You're not tied down to a lectionary text or you're not tied down to, I mean, maybe at some camps you would be, but, yeah, there's just a lot more creativity, I think, that can happen than just in a traditional, if you're the only youth in your congregation and you want to get involved with something, I just feel like there's a lot more roadblocks that can happen.
There's a whole lot more yes that happens at camp.
Yeah.
It really is. Were you at the spec? I want to say it was an IYF spec. Oh, they all blend together. There's going to be people that are like, no, it happened at this one and not that one. Anyway, there was this one worship that I don't think I'll ever be able to to forget, where we were doing the story of Jesus calming the waters, where like the disciples are in the boat. And we actually so we were all in the gym at Graceland. That's where we were doing our morning celebration. And we had like a canoe that we may or may not have borrowed / I don't think we borrowed without permission, but we got a canoe. And we had these big metal sheets that I think Jack Ergo had tracked down for us. I don't know, but they made thunder sounds. And then we borrowed blue fabric from the theater department to make waves with fabric. It was incredible. So we immersed the whole community in this experience of being in the storm. And there's these campers that are banging on the canoe that's turned upside down. And then this camper that we had kind of signify the Jesus character starts to drum a pattern on the canoe. So that all of the chaos of the sound starts to become a beat. And then they start leading the whole group in singing. So then there's 1,000 people in the gym, singing out of this rhythm of people drumming on the canoe. It was amazing.
I was not there for that, but I would.
It's that kind of stuff that happens when we say yes to our young people. And it's just. I can't wrap words around it. I keep trying to wrap words around this experience. And I can't, which is all the more reason why we need to continue to invite people to these experiences.
For sure. So what I'm hearing you say is that in order to bring some of the camp spirit back to our congregations and back to our community is to maybe say yes to new ideas more often. Maybe be a little more flexible in how we do worship services or what we allow others to be involved with. And I know for me, sometimes I look at my own congregation and I feel like sometimes I have typecasted myself or others, or they've done that to themselves, and we all just kind of stay in our own lane, and it's really easy to just kind of go through the motions. But I do wonder what would happen if we said yes to new ideas more often. Mm. And if we said yes to really allowing people to bring their ideas and their giftedness to the table to then do something about it. I think sometimes we just get really comfortable. And I guess maybe at camp, you're not overly comfortable because you're not in your own bed. You're not, eating your normal food. So maybe it's just a little easier to kind of let your guard down and just explore a little bit because you're all there together in that discomfort.
I also think camp lends itself to silliness.
I was hoping that we would go here, so great.
Yeah. camp lends itself to connecting with that part of yourself that just doesn't really care what other people think, and to embrace being silly. And you think that there's this sacred playfulness that happens. Especially with campfire songs. I don't know, we could do a whole podcast on just campfire songs.
Well, and I think that one thing that I've noticed is when I've been to camp and, guest ministers who are usually World Church employees, sometimes they're presidents of 70 or apostles or whoever it may be, just ministers that are more public facing in the broader community. And when they get up there and do something like Gray Squirrel,
yes,
that's when it's just all right, this is great. We don't take ourselves too seriously. And
that's a lot of fun. That's a lot of fun. There was one time, so Daniel, my husband, and I, we lead the campfire experience in the evening a lot. That's one of our favorite things to do. And we were leading campfire, and it was shortly after we had moved to California. And it's interesting because Daniel's sister and brother-in-law, Zach and Katie Harmon McLaughlin, lived in California before we did. and moved like 3 days after we moved here. That was fun. But before we got here, Zach was really well known for his version of Little Red Wagon. And if this version, like if this song is unfamiliar to our listeners, the idea is that each time you sing the song, you sing it a little bit louder and a whole lot worse. That's part of the verses. And what happens is people like yell the song. They like scream it. And if someone who is leading the song wants to really like get into the song, they will scream in people's faces. Sometimes there's like running and chasing people. And Zach would like, you know, lead this song to the point where he couldn't really speak the next day. And you'd have to like really, really scream it. And so Zach was not there at this reunion. And it was shortly after he had left. And like Daniel and I had like taken on this mantle of trying to lead Campfire at Buckhorn. But his dad, Ron, who is an apostle in Community of Christ, was there. And we thought it might be funny if like Ron led Little Red Wagon. And I think there might be video of this somewhere. He's gonna, yeah, I'm gonna tell this story and just let the chips fall where they fall. So he yelled and screamed as you do with Little Red Wagon. And at one point, like there's this row of like little kids at the front of our campfire ring. And he goes and like tries to pick one of them up to like scream the song into his face. And he falls backwards like with the kid in his arms. Everyone was safe. Ron was a little sore the next day, but it was a nice way to honor Zach, his son-in-law, and have a fun story about leading Campfire. So yeah, it's a place for silliness.
And again, it doesn't matter your position in the church. You are allowed to be silly.
Yes.
Which is something that I truly appreciate. That's pretty great.
Yeah. It was great. And what's so bad is that like the campfire ring at Buckhorn is very dusty, so like he just fell right on the ground and there's like a cloud of dust, and like Daniel and I weren't really sure what had happened. It was a whole thing.
what are some other camp stories that you have that you love, camp experiences, whether they be from you as a camper or you as a counselor?
Oh gosh. It's hard to kind of like gather. There's just a lot of them. I'll try and tell some funny ones from childhood maybe, and then I'll share maybe some sweet ones. How's that?
Yeah, go for it.
So growing up, and I don't know how much this tradition still kind of gets played out these days, but at the camp that I went to when I was a kid, Bluff Springs, campfire was a really big deal, and having like a date to campfire was a really big deal. So when I was like maybe in junior high, it must have been junior high camp, I had a campfire date. I don't really remember with who. I was a, you know, junior high kid, but my dad was the director of junior high camp. And so he kind of found out about said campfire date. And what a campfire date is like you sit with that person at campfire and that's the date. And what he did was he sent two female counselors to sit on either side of us at campfire, and they proceeded to like whisper back and forth really loudly, like, "Emily's at campfire with a boy." That was fun. So sometimes when you're at camp, like you're your dad or, you know, your mom or whoever is like a leader at the camp, which makes for a fun camp experience. Another time, you know, like sneaking out is another element of camp. where like you'll sneak out of your dorm, and generally the counselor's in on it. Like when it's done well, the counselor like knows and either helps or like doesn't try to stop you. So when it's done well,
camp stories uncensored.
What's that?
Like camp stories uncensored.
Well, so it's when it's done well, your counselor's in on it and make it kind of fun. So like when I was growing up, you know, you'd have a camp counselor who would be like, guys, we're gonna sneak into the kitchen tonight or whatever, and like they would like make it this really, you know, high stakes thing and like try and, you know, be like sneaky at night and sneak out and get into the kitchen. But like they would have, you know, convinced whoever the cook was to like bake extra cookies, and there were like cookies in the kitchen or whatever waiting for you. So there's stuff like that. That's really fun. So those are kind of like what I remember as a young person. I also remember like this feeling of wanting to include as many people as possible. So like when I was a senior high camper, we tried to get as many people to fit at one table as we possibly could. And that like became this tradition of like, cause we had these round tables and naturally the whole camp couldn't fit at one table, but we like tried to like squeeze and like shift our trays and like just be as like utterly welcoming as possible. and that's a fun memory for me. I also remember playing a game called the cup game. Have you heard of this? I think I can do it.
Is it the one where you like pat, like you tap it and you
something? Yeah. So it's like, it's just like that. So we would get like circles of that and we'd stand around the table, like, you know, free time in the afternoon or something. And we'd like have all of these cups from the dining hall and you would like pass it in a circle. So you'd do that, you know, tapping together, but then at the end you pass your cup to the next person and that person has passed their cup to you. So then it's in a circle. And like, sometimes if you wanted to make it competitive, like if your cup fell, then you were out and then it got to a smaller circle, that kind of thing. So it's just fun stuff like that, that kind of, again, it builds this capacity for silliness and this capacity for creating belonging. And I don't think it gets better than that.
Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I think, you know, for youth who are in elementary school, middle school, high school, the idea that I kind of brought up with reunion, where a lot of families are coming together who might not agree on everything, they're pretty diverse, whatever it may be, they come together and have this experience. I feel like that's even more predominant in youth camps, because if these kids were all in their own school, they'd be in different groups of friends, they'd be doing different activities, they'd come from different socioeconomic classes. There's a lot that in, you know, quote unquote real life separate these kids. But if you can get them all in a group, all playing the cup game, or all singing campfire songs, or all participating in a spiritual practice together, you're accomplishing something that goes beyond just that moment. Like, you're creating community that in school could not be replicated, or even in a congregation couldn't be replicated, because not all of them go to the same congregation. So I just think that it's so important to recognize that you are, and you, general you, counselor you, camp is breaking down those barriers that often separate kids from each other, and all the different ways that teenagers or preteens can divide themselves up in different cliques and groups and whatever it may be. But camp really tries to wash that all away and just get everybody together doing the same thing. And I think that's really, really beautiful.
It's a teeny tiny glimpse at what the kingdom of God looks like, right? You know, or maybe I should use language like the kingdom of God, because it's less hierarchical, because that's what's happening, is we're tearing down all of these walls and structures that create who's in and who's out, and and trying to really disrupt those and be abundantly welcoming. I mean, I think of another just dearly beloved camp leader from my youth, Della Goodson. And she was always the camp pastor, and she and her husband Jake would like teach our classes, like the theme class or whatever. And she had this tradition where she would stand at the front of the line as we would go in to go get food, like at every meal, until she knew everybody's name. And so they would come through and she would give like these giant hugs to everybody as they were coming in through the line until she could name every single camper, every single staff person, and build a connection with them. And it was just this like intentional welcoming, because what would happen at the end of camp is we would stand in a circle and we would, this was like our closing thing that we always did, where we would sing a song that names every single person. So like the way it would go is like, you'd say, "The Lord be with you and bless you, Brittany. The Lord be with you and bless you every day." And you would go around the entire camp. And I mean, my camp sometimes had 70 kids. And the goal was to make sure that you knew everybody's name and that you had like built relationship with them. So yeah, it's this tiny little holy glimpse of the kingdom of God.
Yeah, it doesn't happen in other settings at all. So all these stories, I've experienced them too, where I've seen kids, like I've been involved in kids camp, so, you know, elementary school age, where the older kids will really make it so the younger kids feel safe. They learn their names. They include them in the activities. They explain things that are going on. And there's a sense of responsibility and accountability for the campers that I've seen that is just, I mean, it's leadership development, but it goes beyond that. It's just, it's community building in the most organic way. And so I think that it is sad, and I don't mean to like downplay this, but it is sad for the campers this summer that aren't going to get to experience that. But beyond the individual campers that are losing out, it's our entire community that's losing out. We're losing out on a lot of mentorship. We're losing out on a lot of hilarious stories of campfire, of picking up some children and falling over. Like we're missing this collective experience that we all have in our little pockets of the world. And so, well, I guess I should ask, do you have anything else to say about like camping stories, or I'm going to like move us along just a little bit. Is that okay with you?
That's totally okay. I could sit and tell stories like all day. And okay. Yeah.
So I think that's why it's just so extra sad with COVID-19 and how we have to isolate ourselves from each other, because we are a very social community. And again, we're missing out on a lot with the cancellation of camps. Yeah. So I'm curious, because you have planned so many camps, you've been involved with so many events that happen over the summer. Have you been involved in any conversation? And I know that in our outline, I put replacement in quotes, and I did that on purpose because we can't fully replace camp. But I know that congregations and mission centers are looking at, okay, we can't meet at our campground. What are we going to do instead? So I'm just curious if you've been part of any of those conversations, and not, I'm not asking to like make an announcement for you or anything, but I'm just wondering, you know, what are some things that we can be doing to stay connected to each other during the summer, to just try to keep that camping spirit going?
So our mission center is just starting to have those conversations. In fact, I think just on Monday is when we're going to have our first sort of brainstorming session, because we've only just recently made the announcement about our summer camping, you know, cancellations. So we're in the early stages of that. I think for us, we're thinking that it's going to be the most helpful to have some kind of survey to try and capture what, not only what like the essence of camp is, but also what people are up for, because we're in this time where everybody's so zoomed out that, you know, we're trying to think about length of time, format, what people would be interested in. I have a couple of like silly fun ideas. So like Camp Buckhorn is, and many campgrounds claim to have like the best cinnamon rolls. You know, that's kind of like a thing that happens. I don't know that I can name my favorite from various campgrounds, but anyway, Buckhorn ends the week with truly excellent cinnamon rolls. And I thought it might be fun to do like a home, like an at-home cinnamon roll bake-off, and like have people take pictures of cinnamon rolls that they make. Anyway, I thought that could be a fun activity that's not necessarily a Zoom meeting, right? That gets you doing things with your family and you get to eat cinnamon rolls. Like, that's always good. we're also definitely going to try and figure out how to do some sort of campfire something online. You know, the hardest part of singing virtually or online is that you don't really get to hear everybody singing at once because there's feedback loops and all that kind of stuff. So what could be fun is having like various family members or like different families record themselves doing a silly song. So there's like multiple voices in that recording that then if people are watching that and singing, they hear multiple voices in their ears and not just them and one other person. plus, you know, a lot of campfire songs have silly motions. So if you can get a whole family to do the really silly motions of, you know, Gray Squirrel or Hey Burrito or any of those others, it's a lot of fun. So we're going to try and hack that. We're going to try and figure out how to do some kind of campfire experience where we capture the fun of that. And like I said, these are just early conversations. We're going to see.
Yeah, it's difficult to know what this is going to look like because, again, not only is this just youth camp or just reunion or just women's retreat or just men's retreat, it's all of them combined together at the same time. And there's so much energy in the spring that's spent planning for camps. I know that we were neck deep in planning for kids camp and reunion, and then suddenly it was like, oh, this is, we're on a different track now. And so trying to keep something going, but like you said, I do feel like there is a real thing of Zoom fatigue.
Yeah.
Like, man, how can we provide something and yet not make the expectation be that you're going to sit on your computer all day? Because that's the opposite of what camp is normally like. Like, a lot of our campgrounds don't have any connection. So,
yeah.
You know,
and this is kind of old school. I think most youth camps will do like a video log now, but like when I was a camper back in the day, we had like paper logs where it was like, you know, like top 10 lists of like silly things that had happened at camp or, you know, stories or songs or pictures. There'd be like little blurbs on each cabin or whatever. And then everybody would sign the log at the end. So I've even thought like, how can we utilize mailing a log that like you pass along to the next person, like you sign it and then you pass it along to the next person. I don't know. There's just things like that are like, how can we utilize these, you know, services that are theoretically available to us that can connect us that don't involve a screen necessarily. Mm-hmm. So anyway.
Yeah. Oh, it takes so much creativity. I mean,
yeah. I feel like and it's so hard to have creative energy right now.
Right? You can't go outside and like be together and we can't. Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult. I know that I've thought about, you know, what would it look like? The talent show is really big in my area.
Yeah.
What would it look like to have people submit videos? I know that my kid's school is doing a virtual talent show right now.
Where I love it.
Kids are all submitting their videos. So I don't know. It's tricky though, to know how much do you want to just push the busyness of camp and like, or, you know, how, how much do we want to just say, let's just rest. And here are some spiritual practices you can do on your own. And
yeah,
I don't know. It's something that I'm struggling with, even just thinking about, cause I was going to be directing kids camp. So it's, you know, even trying to figure out what we can still provide the kids who were really excited about camp, and
yeah,
just a lot up in the air. But
you know, most camps do have a rest period, you know, like what camp offers us too is this time to just be, you know, especially reunion. I find that happens more at reunion than at camp necessarily, where you feel like you need to have something happening all the time. But at reunion, there's just this like flow in the afternoon where you can like sit and read a book, or you can, you know, set up a hammock somewhere and spend time next to a lake or some other, you know, naturally beautiful thing. So I think that's important to include as we try to think creatively to like encourage rest time for people.
Yeah. It's hard to find a balance because since we're all stuck at home, I feel like I'm doing a lot of resting, but then also trying to justify the busyness that I feel. And I don't know, it's just, it's a weird time for everybody. And we could talk about this all day.
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's such a wild time. So trying to figure out what community building and ministry looks like in the midst of a global pandemic where everyone is staying indoors has just been, has been an interesting challenge. So
yeah. I've been trying to remind myself that what we're going through is a giant global collective trauma that's all happening to us. And the best thing that we can extend is grace to ourselves and to other people, to be exactly where we are. And that we're enough exactly where we are.
Yeah. Cause that's all we can do. I mean, there's not a lot that is in our control right now. And so picking up the pieces and doing what we can to create community and to further Christ's mission of radical love and hospitality, finding new ways to do that, I think is really the best that anybody can do right now. So I say that an end of the week cinnamon roll cook-off is the perfect way.
Yes, I agree.
That sounds remarkable. And I don't know, I know some really phenomenal cooks and bakers, so I don't think I would stand a chance in something like that, but it would be good to still be able to eat my, you know, contributions.
Oh my gosh. What if,
amazing.
And what if, I don't know how we could pull this off, but I think it'd be really cool if like campgrounds, I mean, every campground has like their own thing that they do really well in terms of like food. Like what if we were able to collect recipes from campgrounds all over?
That is a great idea.
And then people could cook them. Like I'm thinking of like the peanut butter bars from Bluff Springs. Those were like a major thing of my childhood, and I don't even know if they still make them, but something like that, right? Where there's like this thing that always happens, like at Camp Narancho, they always have like a corn on the cob night where they literally like dip the corn in like a vat of melted butter.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's like a beach party, and like you go down to the beach and like there's corn on the cob, there's like a fire. Anyway, like there's like food that happens in particular ways at campgrounds all over the place. And it'd be really cool if we could like collect those somehow and share them so that like all summer long, people who are missing camp could try out recipes from all over.
Just start.
Let's do it.
You're first, ladies and gentlemen. Oh my gosh, I actually super love that idea.
Yes, that'd be awesome.
Whenever ideas like this come about, I always think, well, that wouldn't be too hard, and then there's always complications. Yeah. But really, I feel like it wouldn't be too hard to do that, right?
So I feel like we need like a hashtag and then people like post it on a hashtag. Isn't that how that works?
But yeah. And you click the hashtag and everything pops up.
Yeah. Yeah. So like hashtag Sea of Sea Camp Food.
Oh my gosh. I love where this conversation's going.
This is good. This is good.
Well, yeah. Like I said, folks, you heard it here first. If this construction was birthed in this conversation, I love it. Absolutely.
Use the hashtag. We'll see what happens. And if nothing happens, then we're going to like call the campgrounds. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. We'll get that cinnamon roll recipe.
That's right.
Oh, Emily, it's so good to just laugh with someone. So this has been great. But before we sign off, I usually like to ask our guests if there's anything else about the topic that you wanted to say that you weren't able to. Is there anything else that you would like to say about the camping experience in Community of Christ?
I don't think we missed anything, but I will just say that, you know, in this time of collective grief, it's really my hope that our past camp experiences can sustain us and that we'll sing our way through it, however that looks. But I'm truly convinced that the community that we build at camp can sustain us outside of it too.
Yeah, I think so too. And I mean, I hope so too. And I think it will. I know that the church has been through, well, and the world has been through rough times before. And in the midst of troubling times, it can seem like you're not going to see the end of the tunnel and that you're not going to see resurrection, if you will. We're still in this Easter season, which feels like such a big paradox. But
yeah.
I think that it is good to remember that there is collective grief and that there's collective hope in that. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not feeling it in the moment, and I will admit there's many, many times the last few weeks that I've not felt very hopeful. But that's what community's for, to lean on each other and to have that collective hope of looking into the future. So all that to say is that I hope what you just said does come to pass and that we remember the experiences that we've had and continue to look forward to the experiences that are to come. And we will open up again and we will be at reunion again and we will be at SPEC again and we will be at IYF again. And somehow all will be well. So
yeah.
Thanks, Emily.
Of course. Thanks for inviting me. This has been fun.
It has been fun.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.